'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord that could not be.
Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
If you could get a Bible and follow along with me, I think it would be helpful. We're going to be looking at John chapter 9 about the man the Lord gave sight to who was born blind. Beginning in John chapter 9, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. This man was born blind. He had no concept of what anything looked like. He had never seen colors or shapes. He'd never seen a face. I can't imagine what would go through someone's mind that had never seen, but this man was a man who was born blind. Now, this pictures you and I by nature. We're born spiritually blind. As a blind man who's born blind has no concept of what something really looks like, we are spiritually blind with regard to who God is. We bring him down to our level and we create a false concept of God. We have no idea who we really are. We have inflated views of ourselves and our own ability, and we don't see our sinfulness. We're blind to it. We're blind to God's way of salvation by grace. We're blind to God's way of salvation in Christ. Spiritually blind. That's a fit emblem of you and I. Born spiritually blind. Now let's go on reading. And his disciples asked him, as they see this man who was born blind, they ask this question: Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? How many times have you seen someone, how many times have I seen someone in an unfortunate situation, maybe a physical infirmity, and have you thought, wonder what they did to bring that on themselves? What kind of sin did they commit that brought this into their life? That's what the disciples are doing at this time. And think about the question. Who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Whose fault is this? Now, how could the man be born blind for some sin he committed when he hadn't lived yet? That's a ridiculous question. And then I guess, could this be that his parents are being punished for some sin they committed, therefore their child is born blind? You know, there are instances where an STD, someone had it, and it passed when the child goes through the birth canal, they're blinded by it. That has happened. Is that punishment? Now, let me say this. That kind of attitude is sanctimonious, self-righteous stupidity. And that was the disciples acting that way. And they were totally wrong in saying this. They had no business saying this. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that they were born blind? What a self-righteous, judgmental way of thinking. Yet here they are. Now look at the Lord's answer. Verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, he's not saying his parents never sinned. He's not saying this man never sinned. Both were sinners, but God is in control of everything. And the reason this man was born blind was so that God would show his glorious works of grace and power in this man. You see, it's a terrible thing to be born blind, but God brings good out of evil. Only God can do this. What's the most evil thing to ever take place? When they nailed his son to a cross. What's the most glorious good thing to ever take place? Christ being nailed to a cross to put away the sins of his people and to glorify every attribute of his Father. God always brings good out of evil, no matter what it is. I think of what Joseph said to his brethren who sold him into slavery. He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And I don't know how this works. He does. Everything will end up glorifying God. And that's what the Lord says about this event. And then he says in verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." He knew that his death was right around the corner. "And when he thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay." Now, he took mud and put it in the eyes of this man. Now, somebody says, how could that heal somebody's sight? Well, what this teaches us is that God does use means. And he works in spite of those means he uses. He spit in the ground, made clay, made some kind of mud, anointed it in the man's eyes, and he said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. Christ is the sent one. "He went his way, therefore." Now, how did he get to that pool? I don't know. Maybe he asked somebody to lead him by the hand. And he washed that mud out of his eyes, and all of a sudden, he sees. Can you imagine what that must have been like? All of a sudden, for the first time in his life, he sees. He finds out all of his conceptions were wrong. He sees the beauty of this world. Oh, he sees. And he washed and came seeing. Now, the Lord had departed at this time. We read in verse 8, "The neighbors therefore, and they which had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged?" Now, this man was a blind beggar, like Bartimaeus was. And they look at him. They'd seen him for many years sitting by the wayside begging. What's this? Is this not the man who sat and begged? Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He's like him." But he said, "I am he." This is the first words that come from his mouth. He said, "I'm the one that sat and begged, born blind, and now I see." "Therefore said they unto him, How are thine eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." Now, this is all he knew at this time. He didn't know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. All he knew that he was that he was a man called Jesus. "Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind." Now, why did they bring him to the Pharisees? So we could have what takes place after this. This is all according to the Lord's purpose. They bring him to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the people that the Lord was so hard on. He said, "You generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" This was the religious right, the self-righteous. They brought him to the Pharisees. And it was on the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. You know, most of the Lord's miracles, he did on the Sabbath day. He who made the Sabbath did his miracles on the Sabbath day, and he knew that this would infuriate the Pharisees. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight, and he said unto them, "He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see." Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man's not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day." How ridiculous that they would say something like this. What a complete misunderstanding of the Sabbath this is in the first place. Others said, "How can a man that's a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. Some said, he must be of God, look what he did. Others, how could he be of God if he broke the Sabbath and made that mud to put in his eye? They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. He must be. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that had been blind and received his sight. They looked at him and they said, this didn't happen. They did not believe. Now understand this, unbelief is a choice. You choose to not believe the truth if you do not believe the truth. You hear the truth and you say, I'm not going to believe that. If you believe the truth, you don't choose to believe the truth. You believe the truth because it's true. It's the truth. You know the truth when you hear it. But unbelief is a choice. And the Pharisees chose not to believe this mighty miracle. And they called the parents of him that had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know not. We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. We know that, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He's of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he's of age. Ask him. Now isn't that sad? This fellow's mom and dad that had been born blind, they see their son healed. They see their son given sight, and they were so intimidated by the Pharisees, because the Pharisees said, anybody that confesses anything about Christ, him being the Christ, they'll be put out of the synagogue. They'll be excommunicated. And they feared that so much, they wouldn't say, yes, this is our son, he's been given sight, and the Lord Jesus Christ did it. They were afraid to say anything with regard to the person of Christ. And they said, he's of age, ask him yourself. How sad that they were so intimidated by the religious Pharisees. Verse 24, then called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man's a sinner. This man who made clay and anointed your eyes, they're calling the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who knew no sin, the one who did no sin, the one in whom there is no sin, the one who's holy. They said, we know this man's a sinner. I mean, he made mud on the Sabbath day to give sight to this man that's born blind. He must be a sinner. What crazy reasoning. He says, give God the praise, as if they cared. All they cared about was their rules being kept. Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, now this is the blind man's answer, and I love this answer. He said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. And he did not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. He only saw him to be a man, a prophet even. Probably highly respected him, but he still didn't really know who he was. Because he said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I know that. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Now he'd already told them. And I love I believe he was being sarcastic with them at this time. He answered them, I've told you already, and you didn't hear. Wherefore, will you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? And listen to their reply. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We're Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fella, this nobody, this nothing, and that's what they mean when they refer to him. We know not from whence he is. We don't know where he came from. We don't know his mom and dad. We don't know where he went to seminary. We don't know where he gets his authority. We're from Moses. We don't know where this man's from. Then this man answered them. I love his answer. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he opened mine eyes. Now, this man is saying to these people, What's wrong with you? This man opened my eyes. I was born blind, and he opened mine eyes. And he says in verse 31, Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now he had some understanding of the character of God. God's righteous. He doesn't just up and hear sinners. Now, let me say this, God saves sinners. Paul said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But the reason God hears sinners is because they're in Christ. You call upon his name, God hears you. I don't care how sinful you are. But if you don't have Christ, God doesn't hear sinners. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And that's what a believer is. He's someone who worships God and he does his will. He believes on Christ. That's God's doing God's will, is to trust his son. He's somebody that actually does the will of God. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now, the Pharisees give their answer. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They excommunicated him. I feel quite sure it didn't bother him. I felt quite sure that he saw that they had no authority. He was beginning to get more light, God-given light, regarding the one who healed him. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they'd cast him out. And when he had found him, you know, if you belong to the Lord, he's going to find you. Somebody says, I found God. He wasn't lost. He found you. If you know who he is, it's because he found you. Oh, I pray that God makes that the case even now, where he finds you. Jesus, when they had cast him out, when he'd found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? What a question. Do you believe on the Son of God? And here's how he answers. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Now you can't believe on someone you don't know. The only way you're going to believe on the Son of God is if he makes himself known. And when he makes himself known, you'll know who he is. He's God the Son. God is one God in three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And to believe on the Son of God is to believe that he is the creator of the universe. He is God. He is one with his Father. He is the only Savior, the successful Savior of sinners. You believe who he is. Now, this is the content of faith. It's believing who he is. Do you remember when the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, after he heard him preach the gospel, he said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the God-man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only way a sinner can be saved. You see, it's because of who he is that there's saving efficacy in his death. If I died for you, it wouldn't do you any good at all. Wouldn't do me any good at all. But if he died for you because of who he is, it's Christ that died. There's saving efficacy in his death. He was able to bear my sins in his own body and put them away and make them not to be and give me his righteousness. Do you believe he's the Son of God? I'm not asking you if you believe you're saved. I'm asking you if you believe that he is God the Son, the creator of the universe, the one who controls everything, the sovereign of the universe, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He said, Lord, who is he that I might believe on him? And the Lord said in verse 36, and he answered, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. When does somebody believe? When they worship him. Now you only worship, and I will only worship, an absolute sovereign. One who has complete control. One I can't manipulate. One I can't get him to do something that I... No, I'm in his hand. He can do with me whatsoever he's pleased to do. Like the leper who came to him and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He worshiped him, the scripture says. The only way you worship is when you worship an absolute sovereign. You worship Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the absolute sovereign. He worshiped him. And Jesus said, and this is the conclusion of this story. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now here our Lord tells us why he came. Anytime you hear of a scripture where the Lord tells us why he came, we ought to listen real carefully. He says, for judgment I've come in this world. I love what Abraham said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Christ is the judge of the earth. Now, he didn't come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. God sent not a son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world was already condemned. Now the Lord says, for judgment I'm coming to this world. And remember, the cross is the great judgment of God. For judgment I've come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Now, there are two kinds of people in this world, people who see not and people who see. Now, what does that mean? What is he talking about? Those who see not are those who cannot see in themselves one reason why God would save them. The people who see are the people who can see why God would save them. I've done this, I've done that, I've changed, my life's changed, I've quit doing this, I've started doing that. I can see why, of course, God would save me. I have done what I'm supposed to do. Christ said that person is made blind. And the person who cannot see why God would look in favor toward them, that's the person he gives sight to. And he teaches them the gospel. Now, when men hear the gospel, and when I'm speaking of the gospel, I'm talking about God's electing grace, Christ's successful work, the work of the Holy Spirit in giving life. God is three God, one God in three persons, one God in three persons, and all three persons of the Godhead have a work in salvation. The Father elects, the Son redeems, the Holy Spirit regenerates. Now, when men hear that, they think, well, why didn't he save everybody? Why did he only come for the elect when he could have saved everybody? That doesn't seem fair. That's men's natural response, because they think they can see why God would save them. But when God reveals himself to you, you find out you're a sinner. And you find out that there's nothing in you that would move